Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Stay tuned for a best of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, because in this episode of the Football's History Headlines, we discuss Jim Brown's last Syracuse home game as a collegiate player, and players take flight for the first time, and the Jets bring big offensive days, as well as more Hall of Fame legendary stories, coming up in a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and we've got a really action-packed football history headlines for this November 17th episode. So let's get right at it as we start off. November 17th, the year 1900 at Riverside Park in Montgomery, Alabama, the fifth annual Iron Bowl Classic was played at a neutral site in Montgomery. It was a big day for the Tigers as Auburn dispatched the Alabama squad 53-5. And while we're talking about the Iron Bowl, let's talk about a couple more that happened on this date. This one happened November 17th, 1906, at the Quad at the Birmingham Fairgrounds at Alabama. In the 11th annual Iron Bowl, the defenses played well, but the Crimson and White found a few holes as Alabama blanked Auburn 10-0. A century later, November 17th, 2001, at Jordan-Hare Stadium, Auburn, Alabama, the results of the 66th annual Iron Bowl game were mostly the tide rolling as Alabama beat Auburn 31-7. November 17th, 1928, at Carrier Field, South Bend, Indiana, Notre Dame loses at home for the first time in decades. It took nearly 23 seasons, but finally a visiting team was able to leave South Bend with cheers of victory. Carnegie Tech was the team that performed the unthinkable as they outfought the Fighting Irish by the score of 27-7. Newt Rockne and company had quite a run of victories at the friendly confines of Carrier Field. According to the IrishLegends.com website, the last time Notre Dame lost a game at home before this one, you had to flip all the way back to the 1905 season, in an era before the legal forward pass, to find that Wabash defeated the Irish 5-0. It happened to be the final game played at Carrier Field by the Irish, and it happened to be in a loss. November 17th, 1940. According to the official website of the Green Bay Packers, Packers.com, we are informed that the first NFL team to travel by plane to a game was the Green Bay Packers when they went to New York City. It was a big step cutting down travel times to games. To put it in perspective, travel of the NFL was done mostly by train or bus prior to that first air trip. A bus ride from Green Bay, Wisconsin in those days to New York City probably was in the neighborhood of 20 to 24 hours or more. Train rides didn't improve the timetable significantly, but the plane ride was generally less than 4 hours. The front offices of the NFL feared the loss of an entire franchise, so they made the Packers split the squad into two DC-3s on future flights. What was the outcome of the game, you might ask? The New York Football Giants outlasted the airmailed Pack 7-3 in a strong defensive game. It was also the first long plane ride home for the Packers. November 17th, 1951. The Notre Dame football program earns its 400th victory as the Irish outlast the Tar Heels of the University of North Carolina 12-7 per the IrishLegends.com website. November 17th, 1956. Colgate University's football team didn't know what it was that hit them when Syracuse fullback Jim Brown scored an NCAA record of 43 points. Lincoln A. Weirden of the New York Times covered the stories well in the 1956 article. A crowd of 39,701 spectators watched a brilliant performance from the sensational tailback of Syracuse. In his final game for the Orange, Jim Brown accounted for 43 points, scored 6 touchdowns, and kicked 7 extra points, and the coaching staff sat him down early in the fourth quarter. The final score showed Syracuse 61, Colgate 7.
Ooh-wee, that feller's tougher than woodpecker lips.
November 17, 1959, William Shea shows a proposed New York City stadium with a transparent roof per the BrainyHistory.com website. November 17, 1962, at Grant Field at Georgia Tech, the Ramblin' Wreck of Georgia Tech outlasted the Crimson Tide of Alabama 6-7. Legendary coach Bobby Dodd called it my greatest victory. Mike McName scored Tech's only touchdown and made the game-saving tackle to upset Bear Bryant's unbeaten number one defending national champions that day. Speaking of Bear Bryant in Alabama, November 17, 1979, at Bryant-Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Alabama defeated Miami 30-0 before a national audience. It marked the final regular season game of Coach Paul Bear Bryant's only 12-0 national championship team. The Crimson Tide would go on to dispatch Arkansas 24-9 on January 1st at the Sugar Bowl to claim that national title. November 17, 1985, the Meadowlands, New Jersey. The New York Jets had the franchise's best offense in production ever. According to EliteSportsNewYork.com, the 1985 season was one of the best in Jets history. Tampa Bay quickly jumped out to a 14-0 lead behind two touchdown passes by Steve DeBerg, but the Jets quickly made some adjustments, and boy, were they ever effective. The home team thrilled the New York faithful as they scored 31 answer points on their way to a franchise 41 points by halftime. Jets quarterback Ken O'Brien finished with 23 of 30 passing for 367 yards and a career-high 5 touchdown passes, with 3 of those landing in the hands of tight end Mickey Schuler. The Jets defense allowed only 2 more scores as the Bucs that day in a 62-28 blowout. It was a really hard for the Buccaneers in the final stanza as the Jets offense controlled the ball for an amazing 14 minutes and 37 seconds of the fourth quarter, which included an 11-minute, 13-second, 18-play drive on their final touchdown. It's pretty difficult to be productive in just 23 seconds in a quarter having the ball. Gangrene finished with 11 wins and had the third highest point differential in team history with a plus 129. Now let's take a break from our football history headlines for just a moment. Focus in on that subscribe button on the Embed Player. Click it so you get all the podcasts released right to you as soon as we release them. Also, you can reach us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Right now, I've got a message from one of my friends at the Sports History Network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
We wrap up the November 17th football history headlines segment of this podcast on sad news. On November 17th, 1991, tragedy strikes as the Detroit Lions' Mike Utley is paralyzed in a game versus the LA Rams. Now let's remember some Hall of Fame birthday players on their birthdays for this November 17th. As we go to November 17th, 1908, in Montgomery, Alabama, the running back from the University of Alabama is born, named Johnny Kane. The NFF shares a story that then Alabama head coach Wallace Wade wanted John Kane in the game, so he barked out, "Hurry, Kane," and the nickname stuck with John the rest of his career as he was often referred to as Hurricane. Just to represent how talented he was, the 1930 Crimson Tide's lineup was listed as all seniors except for the talented sophomore John Kane. Kane was a first-team selection of the All-America Board in 1931 and a second-team choice in 1932. The National Football Foundation elevated Johnny Kane to the College Football Hall of Fame status in 1973. After his playing days, Johnny became the head football coach at Southwestern Louisiana and held the position from 1937 through 1941. Then did a stint as the athletic director at the same school from 46 through 47. And finally was the assistant athletic director at Mississippi after that. November 17, 1939, Clarksdale, Mississippi is the place. Willie Richardson, the Jackson State wide receiver and safety, was born, the son of a minister of his wife. The website footballfoundation.org reports that due to his family's strong religious beliefs, Willie secretly played football without them knowing it. It wasn't until Willie's father was reading the newspaper one day that he learned of the gridiron exploits of his very talented son. At Jackson State, he was referred to as Wonderful Willie, and Richardson became one of the most honored players in the great history of the Southwestern Athletic Conference. Richardson was just one of a handful of players to be a four-time member of the Pittsburgh Courier Black All-America team and a two-time NAIA All-American player. In the 1962 season, with the great help of the Wonderful Willie, Jackson State claimed the Black College National Championship. After his college career, he ended with Jackson State Tigers. They retired Willie's jersey number, and he became the first inductee into the Jackson State Hall of Fame. Willie Richardson became a card-carrying member of the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2003. After school, Richardson became the seventh-round pick of the Baltimore Colts. Richardson played eight seasons in the NFL with the Colts and the Miami Dolphins, catching 195 passes for 25 touchdowns. We told you that these November 17th football history headlines were action-packed, and tomorrow's November 18th are just as packed as we talk about the 500th victory for the Fighting Irish. The school that first turned on the nightlights of collegiate football shuts them off, and the New York Giants move to a 10-0 record. All on your football history headlines, November 18th. So hit the subscribe button and join us tomorrow, and also subscribe to some of our other Sports History Network podcasts. I'm looking out at the defense, and I got backers crowding the line. I'm going to call an audible and get on out of here. Tune in tomorrow for more Pigskin Dispatch. If you want to get contact us, we're at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we'll see you tomorrow, folks. We encourage you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, and hit us up on the email, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. See us on Twitter and Facebook, too, and subscribe to this podcast. We'd love to hear from you.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.